Weekly Pulse on all things green and gold ahead of Sunday Night Football. It's Packers Seahawks this Sunday alongside the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde, Alex Strofe hanging out with you. Jason, good day. What are you doing?
Hi.
What are you doing? What's wrong?
I can't. This hat doesn't curve.
Okay.
And I'm old. You know, I'm not one of those.
You guys can't rock the flat
brim guys. This is you when you wear a hat, right?
No. No, I'm a curved brim guy. Yeah, curved brim guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Try a different one here.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently, we're making outfit decisions on today's edition of Weekly Wildy.
Hey, man. I'm adjusting my schedule for you, so you can bite me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Strong start here. I like it. Let's start here. Jair Alexander has returned to practice. Full participant on Wednesday. He's missed a majority of this season, obviously dealing with an injury. Missed a lot of last season. It's been an up and down ride with Jair Alexander. But returning to practice and angling to play this Sunday in Seattle, how big of an addition is that to the Jeff Hafley-led defense?
I mean, obviously, it would be enormous. Per our friend Rob Domofsky, since they were practicing while we were still doing Wilde and Tausch, or at least began practicing while we were still doing Wilde and Tausch, Bullard is the only player on the active roster, again, not practicing on Thursday. Jair is out there. Evan Williams is out there. Romeo Doubs is out there. Edgerrin Cooper's out there. So those are all good developments. But look, I say this, I think I mentioned it to you this morning when you were filling in as a cousin subs, we believe in better, on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Like, I don't have anything against Derek Stokes personally at all, but obviously if Jair Alexander plays, that means Eric Stokes plays less or not at all on defense. And that, I think, is obviously a meaningful upgrade. The issue is, again, how good is Jair going to be? How effective is he going to be? I don't know the answer to that, but I certainly would feel like he is still, when healthy, a very good cover guy. So having him back in the lineup is a good thing for the Packers if that's the case on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And a desperate bump, if you will, to that Packers defensive backfield, which has struggled without him back there. So that would be big. Let's flip to the offensive side of the football. Jordan Love seemingly has cleaned up the interceptions that we saw early on in the season. Jason, what have you seen him as he continues to develop? And as I taught you about Toyota-thon last week, seems like he is Toyota-thoning, if you will.
Well, I mean, he was 12 of 20 in the game against the Lions. So maybe his interception numbers have decreased in part because he's not having to throw the ball quite so often and take quite so many risks, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they lose that game, obviously, but it's a back-and-forth game. Look, to me, you know, I felt like he was looking more like himself each week. But, you know, we talked to him actually on Wednesday about the throw he makes to Watson and moving in the pocket and making that throw and flipping his hips. And I mean, it basically looked like a jump cut that he threw off of. That to me tells you everything you need to know about where he's at physically and confidence wise. But yeah, he's not turning the ball over, and that's obviously a good thing, but he has to continue to do that. Like, he can't now go into Seattle and think, okay, I have reception in three games, I'm back to being me, let's take some risks here. Watson's down there somewhere, blanket. He can't, you know, you got to be careful when you do that sort of thing. So we'll see if he keeps the streak going. But obviously, you know, him not turning the ball over, him looking like the guy he was down the stretch last season, those are all encouraging signs for a team that still has work to do to get to where they want to be in the postseason.
And obviously Josh Jacobs has been a huge and crucial addition to this offense. But the point you just made, Jordan Love is throwing the ball less because Josh Jacobs' workload has been increased. Do you view that as a long-term winning recipe for this team once we reach January?
I think it's a long-term winning recipe for every team ever, right? I mean, I heard the new Badgers offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, talking with Tausch about it. Mm-hmm. Recently, and it's the same thing. Like, you got to be able to run the football. I know it's not sexy all the time. No. It's not exciting. You know, offensive play callers don't call it because they're really, I mean, some of them probably are. If you've got Derrick Henry in the backfield, you are. And frankly, if you got Josh Jacobs in the backfield, you're probably more excited about calling run plays than if you have some other guys in the backfield. So, you know, it was never a priority. I will say this, though, and it's not just Josh Jacobs, because I think Matt LaFleur also learned something down the stretch of last season. If you remember, Aaron Jones, who, you know, we kind of forget how good he was because we've got Jacobs mania a little bit, but five consecutive, the last three regular season games, both playoff games, Aaron Jones went out over 100 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at why Jordan Love was so good down the stretch last year. It wasn't just that Jordan Love, you know, lit it up because he found himself, although I do think he did. The offensive line coalesced and played a lot better, and the running game was very effective. And if that's the recipe, that's a good recipe for Jordan. It's a good recipe for LaFleur. And it's a good recipe for Josh Jacobs, which means it's a good recipe for the Packers.
Not a good recipe. Zero touches for Jaden Reed last Thursday's game against the Detroit Lions. He has eight catches in four games. For a guy who we thought at one point was evolving into the true number one receiver and one of the best playmakers on the Packers offense, he's kind of evaporated from the game plan the last couple of weeks. I know the head coach has talked about that quite a bit this week. What do you make of Jaden Reed, and how did the Packers continue to emphasize his importance in the offense?
I think Matt LaFleur acknowledged, while also giving a good explanation, why he wasn't getting the ball more and that he does need to be more involved. You know, as he explained it, the Lions were basically daring them to throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of playing into that, which Matt LaFleur has been known to do before, he said, okay, well, I came into this game saying your defensive line and linebackers are decimated. We're gonna run the ball. And if you're going to be hell-bent on stopping it, we're going to run it anyway. And so he went with more, as he called them, big people, went to tight ends more. That was fewer snaps for the Jaden Reeds of the world. They also play, let's be honest, their best blocking wide receivers if they're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Dontavian Wicks, whatever shortcomings he's had as a pass catcher or pass dropper at times, he has been a very good run blocker. So they want him on the field. I think Christian Watson is effective in that realm. I think Malik Heath is effective in that realm. So, you know, you put that all together, and the fact they wanted to keep running the ball against a, you know, base defense means fewer snaps for Jaden Reed, but he still played 25 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
He was targeted technically twice. Once he had the drop, which was a really harsh drop, by the way. He said his mom gave him a drop, but his mom's a notorious tough grader. I would say it was not a drop. It was a outside ball that Love threw a little bit farther to the sideline than he probably wanted. Should have caught it, but didn't. And then the other time he drew a pass interference penalty on Branch. So, right. You know, for a guy who technically had zero catches and only had one target, you know, he was even a factor on those two plays. Like if he makes that diving catch, you know, I think they convert the third down, if I remember correctly, or second mm-hmm. down. So look, he needs to be more involved. Matt LaFleur knows that. Jordan Love knows that. Jaden Reed knows that. Everybody knows that. But the other part of this that I think we're forgetting is that they are not converting on third down effectively. And so their number of offensive snaps are low. And that's a problem too. Like I always say, Mike McCarthy always told us the goal is 70 offensive snaps. Well, last Thursday night, it was Lions 80, Packers 50. That's a pretty big disparity. And you want to have more snaps than that if you're the Packers offense.
Yeah, and 12-minute advantage for the Lions in terms of the time of possession in that game as well. So to only lose by three is a good thing, but I don't think there's such thing as a moral victory when you lose by three to the best team, debatably, in the NFL. I just don't think that exists, right? You didn't get that vibe at all, did you?
Did I get the vibe of what?
A moral victory?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, look, they don't view it that way. I am curious if it went the other way, though, and that they maybe thought, boy, maybe these guys are better than us. Just even with a skeleton crew on defense. But yeah. I don't think they think that way either. I think they just feel like, you know, like they said, look, if we play them again, we think we can beat them. I'm not sure they're right. but I know they'd like the opportunity.
I would like to see the opportunity as just a football fan, because that was a really entertaining game last Thursday. Let's flip to this weekend, heading to Seattle, obviously a hostile environment and a team that's hot. Seattle's won four in a row. It's only a 3 or 2.5 point spread now. That line has moved back. Packers are 2.5 point road favorites. I'm nervous, to be real honest with you. This game gives me some nerves, between the hostile environment, a hot team who's controls their own destiny, leading their division, and this could be a playoff preview. What do you make of this one as the Packers go on the road to Seattle?
Yeah, I'm not nervous because I don't care about the outcome, but I am eager to see what happens. I think, look, there's two games left on the schedule that we get that I believe we will find out more about this team.
Agreed.
That we still need to find out. That I like, this is a weird season. Like I feel like there have been lots of years where I knew how good they were. There have been some seasons where I knew how bad they were. There were some seasons where I was perplexed that they weren't better than they were. And this season, I kind of feel like I think they're good. I feel like I'm pretty confident they're good. I just don't know how good.
Yeah.
Like, are they good enough to make it all the way to New Orleans? I think so, but probably not. I have said from the very beginning of the season, in fact, I think I even said it to you at Summerfest, I think they're a year away. Mm-hmm. And I think I also said at Summerfest, which is always kind of my, all right, where was I in July?
Yeah, right.
Heading into camp, and where am I now? Kind of barometer. I think I also said they could be a better team and not go as far in the playoffs. And that, I firmly believe, is a realistic possibility. Now, do I think either the NFC South or an NFC West champion is going to be better than the Packers are? I don't. I don't think they'll have a better record. I don't think they'll be a better team, but they will have home field. And so the Packers could go to Tampa, could go to Seattle, could go to LA, right? I mean, if the Rams stay right this hot, they can win the division. They win out, they win the division after everything they've been through this season. And then I'm not sure that the Packers with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp healthy are better than the Rams. They were certainly better than the Rams when the Rams didn't have those guys. And the Rams certainly got an assist from that ridiculous pick six that Jordan threw.
Sure.
But the bottom line is that they are a better team than they were last year. I firmly believe that. But I could see them losing their first round playoff game on the road and ending up not having gone as far in the postseason with a better team, with a better record on the regular season and with a better team and still being out in the first round.
Man, the mental gymnastics you just went through right there was as entertaining as it comes. That was really well done by you. But you're totally right, because that's the same thing I go through. It feels like every day is, I think they're good. You don't get the 9-4 on accident, but how good are they? So I'll ask you this on the Packers thus far through 13 games. What is their most impressive win this season to you?
That's a hard question.
I know it is.
Because quite frankly, I don't know if there is one that is like uber impressive, right? Like their defense played really well against the Texans.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a meaningful performance by them. But again, you know, the Texans have obviously had their own challenges this season. So it's not like the most impressive win you could have registered. Their wins, for those that are playing along with the home game, the Colts, the Titans, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Bears, the 49ers, and the Dolphins. And I think you can look at all of those, and if you want to be a critic or a meh kind of guy, you can look at all of them and give different reasons for why they're meh, right? Mm-hmm. You know, look, the 49ers missing Bosa, missing their starting quarterback and missing their starting left tackle on the road. They beat the 49ers, but they beat the watered down 49ers.
Correct.
And they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And remember, you know, speaking of memories of you and I in the trailer, I was at, like, not worried, but I thought there was reason for Packers fans to be worried about that, because we'd seen C.J. Beathard come in and be good for them 1 year. And that game was just, they just blew them out. Same with the Dolphins. Like, they pull it, they make it a little more respectable in the end, but the Packers thoroughly outplayed them. Correct. And the Dolphins looked like, you know, Tausch calls Mike McDaniel a, you know, snivelly looking little cold weather weasel. But he, you know, they looked cold and became disinterested, right?
Hold on, time out. What did you just call him?
He says sniveling. Tausch is the one who was talking about how he looked. Oh, I'm so cold.
Okay.
I like Mike McDaniel. He's a trip.
Cold weather weasel. Okay. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I don't know if he used weasel. It was something weaselish, like something in that realm. But the bottom line is that I don't think they have a win this season where you're like, damn. Like,
right?
when they went to Detroit on Thanksgiving and beat the Lions, that was a game where you said, okay, then maybe there's something brewing here.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they've beaten the teams they were supposed to beat, and they've lost to the teams that you'd like to beat, but might be better than you. So I don't see – I guess Houston has to be the correct answer. But, like, I stand by my Arizona's not very good.
Agreed.
You know, they went on a winning streak after I said that, but now they've reverted back to being who I thought they were. So I don't know. The signature win – could be Sunday night. The signature win could be in Minnesota in a couple weeks. But again, that goes back to our earlier point of not really knowing for certain what this team really truly is.
Yeah, I think in order for Sunday night to be that game where we all go, oh, there it is, right? That's kind of what we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. The defense needs to step up big, because this is an offense with two good running backs, three really good wide receivers. And obviously, you've been shorthanded a little bit defensively, but probably better than other teams in terms of the injury category. But it needs to be a defensive first performance in order for us to walk away from Sunday night going, yeah, that was the one. You would agree with that, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if this game was at home on Sunday night, maybe I would be saying the same thing next week on Weekly Wildy. Well, yeah, they beat the Seahawks, sure, but they were at home, and I don't think the Seahawks are really that good. They might win the division, but meh. Like, but that's that. You know, to be fair to the Packers, that's also kind of what the NFL is this year.
It's true,
right? Like, I would argue that in the NFC, there are, you know, I don't want to be like Jesse Nelson tearing my friends, but to tear the NFL, right? Like, AFC, it's Buffalo and it's Kansas City. And then it's probably Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Is there someone I'm snubbing in the AFC there by saying that?
Maybe Los Angeles, the Chargers, if you're a believer in them.
Maybe. And then in the NFC, I would say it's Detroit and Philly.
Yep.
I, unlike many Packers fans and unlike Tausch, think that until proven otherwise, the Vikings get a different tier than the Packers do. Again, they have similar opponents, but there is a two-game disparity, and the Vikings beat them on their home turf. I understand Jordan Love was coming back from injury, all the other stuff. Bottom line is, I personally believe that right now, today, as we're taping this, if you want to say that the Lions and the Eagles are tier one, the Vikings are tier 1.5, and then the Packers, maybe Seattle, maybe Tampa, maybe Washington are tier two. I'm okay with that. But I still think that until on December 29th and beat them, that I don't consider them tier two on par with the Vikings yet.
I'm with you on that, actually. As much as I want to say I'm a non-believer in the Vikings, it's gone on too long. I think I'm a believer in the Vikings. And to your point, they beat the Packers. So until proven otherwise, they get their own. So when it comes to this last four games, right, they, as we know, they go to Seattle Sunday Night Football. They return home next Monday, host the Saints. They go to Minnesota on the 29th. They wrap up the season at home against Chicago. What do you view the record as, right? Does it have to be at least 3-1 in order to maintain as the sixth seed? Because to your point, I mean, the Rams and the Seahawks could battle it out. The Rams could be nipping on the Packers' heels if they drop two more games.
They could. And look, I had a retired Navy fella who is Tausch's biggest fan point out that there is a not-so-ridiculous scenario where the Packers can still find themselves on the outside looking in. Like, I am as guilty as anyone of just saying, yeah, they're going to the playoffs. But, look, they're not going to lose to the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose to the Bears, there is going to be a reckoning, just like there was when the Lions had nothing to play for in the regular season finale in 2022, and the Packers had a playoff berth to play for, and they you-know-what-ed the bed. I don't, that could be really ugly. So I don't see that happening.
I don't either. Yeah.
So basically the fulcrum of this is these two road games. I definitely think they have to win one of the two. I think they have to go 3-1 to be safely in the 5-6 zone and avoid the seventh seed, which again, maybe they don't care. Maybe they're like, hey, we got to go play Philly. We'll go play Philly. We got to play Detroit again. We think we can beat Detroit again. So even though they beat us twice, I don't know what they're thinking there, but I personally, if I was advising them, I would say, look, go play the champion of those two divisions that are going to have a lower record than yours. I'm not guaranteeing that you'll win, but I like your chances a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, I fully agree with you on that. All right, a couple more things for you, Jason, before we wrap up this week's edition of Weekly Will Day. When you look at Seattle, what is the biggest advantage they have against Green Bay? Is it the skill position players offensively in your mind?
Well, first of all, the biggest advantage is that they're at home.
Well, true.
And the idea of an offensive line that at least to start the game, and maybe for longer than that, struggled to get off on the snap count was clearly like I go back to this just because it turned out to be so true, but Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, saying that that Lions game was going to be the first true road game they've had all year, he was right. Like, yes, I know it was loud in Chicago. That's an outdoor stadium with a fan base that was really trying to be more excited than they actually are about their team, if we're being fair, right? I mean, they fired the offensive coordinator. But, like, that still wasn't anything close to what they had in Detroit. They didn't handle it well in Detroit, at least to start the game. Incredibly, on this team, on offense, they don't have anybody that's ever played in Seattle before. Like, I was talking to Elton Jenkins
on Monday.
And it, like, dawned on me when I was talking to him that, have you even ever played in Seattle? And he's like, no, I haven't. So that's part of it, too. So we'll see how that goes. But, look, they got three really good receivers. Right. I mean, I think Tyler Lockett is one of those like forever underappreciated guys that just keeps playing at a good
100%.
Level. 100%. Jackson Smith and Jigba is just another one of those Ohio State receivers. They like churn out like eight of them every draft. And we know what DK Metcalf is capable of. I don't know how healthy he is, but we know he's capable of being a big game player as well. So there's that challenge. I don't know what Kenneth Walker's availability is going to be as of today, but you know, this I always want to call him Joe Charbonneau, who was like a hot prospect for the Cleveland Indians in the 80s when I was a kid. Charbonnet, not to be confused with Chardonnay,
correct?
Had a ton of yards last week. I mean, the guy obviously can play, right? So you know, we'll see if the Packers run defense is as good as we thought it might have been with what it's not. I thought they did a pretty good job against Detroit with two stud backs. But to me, this game comes down to, can you stop the run defensively? Can you stop the run, force Geno Smith to throw the ball a lot more? Because Geno Smith throws the shortest passes in the league, according to Sports Info Solutions or something I saw yesterday. And when he was throwing 50 passes in a game, they were losing, and he was throwing a bunch of interceptions. Mm-hmm. And now that he's only throwing it 30 times a game, now they've won four in a row, and he's not turning the ball over. So it's a pretty clear-cut recipe defensively for what you need to do.
You've been to Seattle, correct?
I have many times. I love Seattle.
Now, is the stadium and the noise and the atmosphere and the environment all it's cracked up to be? Is that legit?
Yeah, especially in the 2014 NFC Championship game when they shut that crowd up in a huge way. It was, I mean, I remember sitting there at 16-0 going, oh my God, what a great story. Because remember, they had started the 14 season getting their asses kicked there.
Right.
And they played so scared. That was the game when McCarthy lined up Jarrett Boykin and Davante Adams on occasion, because Davante was a rookie that
right.
year, on Richard Sherman's side of the field, because Richard Sherman always played the right side. He never traveled, even though he was a great player, which I always thought kind of lowered him in my eyes in terms of how great he was. But he always played the right side. And so basically their game plan was, okay, we'll just pretend that we don't have that part of the field. So now you're playing on a two-thirds of a field, and their offense wasn't very good, and they played scared. And what I thought of all the things, if you're – and we're going to get, like, too soon comments in the YouTube when this posts. But, like, of all the things that were disappointing, you know, Julius Peppers telling Morgan Burnett to go down, and the interception on what should have been an offsides call on Bennett that Rodgers throws in the end zone – and obviously, Brandon Bostic with his knuckleheaded grab of the ball, which, again, you never know what transaction could change the course of history. And the Packers cut Ryan Taylor, one of their tight ends, earlier that season. That was the spot that Ryan Taylor was in. And I can tell you Ryan Taylor wouldn't have made that stupid mistake because he had done it in a game previously and gotten his ass chewed. Because he touched the ball when he wasn't supposed to. So if you still have Ryan Taylor on your team, you go to the Super Bowl. Of all those things, how healthy they were as a team, how Clay Matthews moved in to the inside linebacker spot and played at a Pro Bowl level, all those things they had going for them. The biggest thing was they went in there and they did not play scared. They took it to Seattle. And I thought, Mike McCarthy, that was great. I mean, they shut the fan base up, and then it got really loud during the rally. So, yes, it is long way of saying, yes, it is legit loud there. And also, they have a Starbucks in the press box.
Wow, that part's
cool. Well,
it's
not full service, but you can get most of the beverages. It's pretty nice.
All right, couple takeaways. Number one, too soon. It's still too soon. That is the number one heartbreaking loss in the history of my
like
fandom.
You were like 14 years old.
2014. What year was it actually? Was it played in 15, technically?
January of 15.
So I would have been, 16.
You just turned 16. You just got your driver's license?
Correct, yeah.
And now you walk everywhere.
And now I walk everywhere. How did you know that? Have I told you that I walk everywhere now?
No, but you like said, you texted me that you were, how cold it was when you were walking.
Yeah.
So you, every time. You do a lot of walking.
I walk to work.
To the studio.
I walk to work. Yeah, that's true. Okay. You're a great listener. Yeah,
actually.
Too soon. That one's heartbreaking. All right, it's Packers, Seahawks, Sunday Night Football.
Wait, that's your only takeaway? You said you had a bunch of takeaways.
Well, the Starbucks in the press box. I'm Jarrett Boykin. I didn't expect his name to get dropped ever in the history of this show, which is an incredible pull by you. Many takeaways. Last thing for you is nothing to do with the Packers. But I've been waiting to ask you your opinion on this because I am fascinated by it. And no, it has nothing to do with United Healthcare. Bill Belichick is the new head coach at the University of North Carolina. Bears fans' hearts are broken. That's not happening. What do you make of Belichick to UNC? I've got to know Jason Wilde's opinion on this.
I don't know, because I'm trying to figure out. He's obviously the GOAT. Right. I mean, he's given what he accomplished.
Yeah.
I know this is blasphemous. Probably even more impressive than what Vince Lombardi did. if we're being fair. But what I don't understand is, so you got Jeff Hafley, who I'm not saying Jeff Hafley is Bill Belichick by any means.
I didn't.
But
take
you got
it that
Jeff
way.
Hafley, yeah. Right, who's a college head coach who chooses to leave that job, and you know he might have gotten fired the following year, whatever. But the bottom line is he chooses to leave a head coaching job to become a coordinator in the NFL, right? And he's not the only one who's done that, right? And now you got Belichick, who's always three steps ahead of everybody going the other way.
Right.
So I'm fascinated by this decision. Now, you know, I've enjoyed some of the jokes about how, well, he chose to go to college because his girlfriend's starting her freshman year of college, which is not true. She's in her 20s. But
makes it so much better. Yeah.
I don't. No, it does not. And I could guarantee you that if Paula ever leaves me, there will not be 20-something girls jumping at the opportunity to catch an open market Jason Wilde. and Paula, I'm sure, would be like, yeah, sure, give it a shot, see how it goes.
Yeah, right.
I don't
right.
see it. I don't like your chances, fat boy. But be that as it may, I'm not interested. I love Paula, but it is funny to me. That,
yeah,
I mean, what is the appeal of Bill Belichick? He's smart.
Yes,
he's a great storyteller. Like, again, I've told you this before. That time at the NFL combine when I went with a bunch of veteran writers and he pulled up and sat with us. Don't let the press conferences fool you. I think you've seen with him on TV this season. He can be a good storyteller and a very engaging personality. So maybe it's that he's just and he's handsome. Anyway, I don't,
for his age, sure.
I think it's great. I'm really eager to see how it plays out for him. I will pay attention to UNC football, which I never had done before.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, do I think it's going to be a trend? Do I think Mike McCarthy, if somehow he ends up out in Dallas, which now is not maybe the slam dunk that maybe we thought it was.
I don't think so at all.
Micah Parsons standing up for him was really good and all that stuff. But is Mike McCarthy going to go, you know, be the head coach at Texas A&M or something? Doubt it. He's got a Super Bowl. Is Mike Tomlin going to go coach at Pitt so he doesn't even have to sell his house?
Nope.
I don't think so. So I'll be watching, but I'm more in the Tony Bennett realm, the Jeff Hafley realm of, I don't know if I would want that with all the money you could pay me. I don't care with the NIL and like this, like the whole thing. And I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but like the Tretch Kekahuna thing,
right?
Like Tausch was making fun of me for being naive. Cause I swear to God, this was my thought. The NIL, oh, he got more money from UW, never entered my thoughts. It was like, oh, they're changing the offense. He likes what he's heard from Jeff Grimes.
Yeah, no, back. That ain't it.
Yeah, I understand. But again, my brain, my little pea brain, having grown up on college football, loving college football, yeah, still thinking like it used to be, right?
Yeah.
And instead, I'm sure that's not what it is. So I don't understand why Bill Belichick or anybody else wants to deal with that. But I think, you know, Evan Cohen, I thought, made the best point. He loves him some Bill Belichick. It's that he sees this as a pro league now. So he's going to take everything he did in the NFL, apply it to college football, and he thinks he's going to have success. And we'll wait and see if that's true.
Yeah, we will wait and see. But I imagine he probably will, because he's Bill Belichick and seemingly he only has success. What was the line that you just said? Give it a shot, fat boy. Is that what you said?
I think that's what I said, yeah.
That was unbelievably well executed.
Yeah, just for the record, Paula would not call me that. I mean, okay, I am, but she would never actually say that.
Okay, I guess that's a solid clarification on your part. Good job. Way to save your marriage today on Weekly Will Be.
We're in a pretty good spot. I'm all right.
All right, good. That will do it for Weekly Wildy. What an episode this has been. We will talk to you next Thursday ahead of Packers Saints and following Packers Seahawks. Hopefully the Packers are 10-4. And hey, maybe they'll be in the playoffs if the Rams and 49ers tie miraculously on Thursday Night Football. Thanks, Jason.
Keep walking in the cold weather. Make sure you bundle up. Don't want to get frostbite on your little walk to wherever you're going. But yeah, be careful out there. All right, Strofe. Take care. Be good.